Well, Merry Christmas, and welcome to worship here at Romeo United Methodist Church. I'm so glad you're with us here this evening, that you made it in safely, that we're able to have this time together. And I also want to take just a second and say welcome to our online viewers, those joining us from wherever you may be. We're glad that you too can join us so we can have this time of worship. Glad that we can gather and worship our newborn Savior. It is a fun evening. It's an evening of excitement and energy, and I am glad you're here to do it with me. And the only thing that seems appropriate for our start of this worship is that we're going to sing a few songs. So I'm going to invite you to stand with me as you're able and join in singing these. The first hymn we're going to start out with is number 246, Joy to the World. The lyrics will be on the screens, and you can also find it on page 246 of your hymnals. Join me in a word of prayer. Lord, we count it in mere hours now. Soon the first pains of labor will be felt. Soon the light will shine in the darkness. Soon that baby will be born. Soon, God, you will once again break into our lives, coming in a way that is unexpected and unusual. Lord, you come to challenge our expectations. You come to call us to see life differently. So in this time of worship, we pray that you open our eyes, open our hearts, O Lord, that we might experience your love and light in new and exciting ways. We pray this in the name of the one who comes. Amen. I'll invite you to continue singing our singing time here as we're going to be singing hymn number 240, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, hymn number 240.
Thank you. to the newborn King.
You may please be seated. As you are, I invite you to hear our first scripture reading for this evening. It's coming to us from Luke's Gospel. It's Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, the birth of Jesus. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place in the guest room. This ends our first reading for today. And at this time, I'd like to invite the Rosso family to come forward as they'll be lighting our Advent wreath for us here tonight.
Advent hope moves us, Advent love leads us, Advent joy stirs us, Advent peace stills us, that we might affirm our King Jesus.
It is time we set flame to his Advent affirmation by lighting the Christ candle.
So on this evening, we join our voices as one to proclaim together. We believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He was born of the Virgin Mary in Bethlehem, Judea. He was long-awaited Messiah who came to prophesy. Name Jesus lives today in our hearts. He deserves our highest loyalty and total commitment.
In Jesus Christ, our hope is fulfilled. Our love is consummated. Our joy is complete. And our peace is sealed.
Rejoice, a Savior is born. A Savior is born indeed. Joy to the world.
Thank you, Rosso family, for helping us complete our Advent lighting with the lighting of that Christ candle. And at this time, it's my pleasure to introduce some of members of our choir who have a special music prepared for us this evening. It's Christmas time.
Christmas time is
God's people said, Amen. Thank you, choir, for blessing us with that special music this evening. At this time, I'd like to invite any of the children or students or youth, anyone who'd like to join me for a time with the children up here on the steps. We're actually going to go, ready for this, guys? We're going to this side this night. Can you join me over here? I know, I just blew their minds. I'm going to let him get up here. Oh. All right. Make room for everyone coming in. All right. Well, good evening, boys and girls. How are you doing tonight? Good? Come on, I get that kind of good on a Sunday morning. How are you doing tonight?
Good!
That's right. Fantastic. I like it. We got some new adjectives. Good job. I like it. Well, I'm glad you guys are here. I'm glad that we're able to join together on this evening for our special time of worship. I'm glad that we can have this time together. And, you know, the choir just sang to us and they told us, what? It's Christmas time. It's here, right? Tonight's Christmas Eve. Tomorrow is Christmas Day. Those are exciting things. And I was just wondering, when you think of Christmas, what are the things you think of? What do you think of when you hear Christmas? Baby Jesus, all right. What? Giving, absolutely. The birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Those are awesome answers. And one of them kind of alluded to it, but come on, there's one other thing you think of when you think of Christmas. Santa, which means presents. Come on, you can be honest with me. You don't have to give me the answer I want to hear. You can give me the answer that you're thinking about.
Well, you should have started with that.
I should have, but we think about presents, don't we? And that's okay. It's fun. It's a good time. And part of it, though, is it was touched on. It's the giving part, right? That we give presents and that we're able to give to other people and we can think about something that we know they might like or something they might appreciate and get them that gift. And I'm going to be honest, what you see underneath the tree here, those are some gifts, and they're for all of you. We're going to get to those in 1 second. But Veda Jane, would you step around front, and there's a church right there in front. Would you look behind that church? Is there something else underneath that tree tonight? Underneath that church right there in front. Do you see something behind it? What is it? Can you grab it and pull it out here and come show everyone? What is it? Can you show everyone? Hold it up so the congregation can see too. It is. It's the baby Jesus from the nativity, from our nativity that's been on our altar. I'm going to be honest with you guys here. We never put baby Jesus in when we set that up on the altar. And not one person from the congregation has asked me why. Nobody's noticed that Jesus was missing. I got a little worried, but it's okay. But tonight, we had baby Jesus under the tree because really, when we come and think about it, when it really comes down to it, the first gift, the best gift that was ever given on Christmas was Jesus coming. And it's because something that you alluded to. He came to be our Savior, our Lord and our Savior. And so he was underneath our tree tonight because it is our Christmas present. And I'm going to ask Beta if she'd mind go ahead and step up there and put him where he rightfully goes. It seems only right that Mary from our Christmas program puts baby Jesus into our nativity. So can you go ahead and put him up there for us, Beta? Thank you so much. I think you'll find where he goes. But it is the first gift that was given, and that's part of the reason we still give gifts, is to remind each other to share our love with each other, just like God shared his love with us on that first Christmas. And we do have some gifts here for you. I'm going to give those to you here before you go back to your seats. Just a little something that you can have to look at here tonight. It's some things for you that we've just put together. So I want you guys to know we love you here at the church. We love that you're a part of it. We can have this time that we can have you here in our worship. And we're going to say a prayer and thank Jesus for all of you. So will you guys join me in a word of prayer? Can we pray together? Dear Jesus, we do give thanks this evening. We are thankful for the voices of the littlest ones amongst us, those that we hear in our service singing and randomly shouting out when they feel like it, Lord. We are thankful for those voices as a part of our worship service. Because, Lord, we know that you came for all of us. You came for us big and small. It doesn't matter where we are or who we are, Lord. You came because you loved us. And we are thankful for that greatest gift, that gift that was given on that first Christmas night. So on this night, I hope you can help us to remember, as we're opening those presents, as we're having that fun time together, Lord, we can remember the real reason for the season, the real reason that we celebrate, and it is you, Lord. It is you, Jesus. And for that, we offer our thanks. We offer this prayer, as always, as we pray in your holy name. Amen. All right, before you go back, I got something here for you. I got two different ages, so I got one that's a little older and one that's a little younger, so make sure you get the one that sounds good. Here you go, gentlemen. Those are for you. Here you go, sweetie. This one's going to be for you. There you go. Here you go, Eliza. Who else do I got here? I got Eddie and Spencer. And Everett and Zoe. There you go. Here you go, Veda Jane. Whoops. You got one for, does Lainey have one? Okay. I don't want her to not have one up there. Oh yeah, she's got her. She's letting me know it. All right. Somebody's excited about her bag, I'm glad. One other thing I forgot to mention at the start of service, so I'm just going to use this right now to do so. We did have the green inserts in your bulletins tonight. They list those who had purchased a poinsettia in honor or memory of a loved one. They're beautifully on display here. I was supposed to remind you, if you purchase one of those and you want to take it home with you, please feel free to do so. You can grab one after service. The plastic wraps are in the room just to my left here if you want to grab one and wrap it up before you go home tonight. Please feel free to take those with you before the end of tonight. And we recognize that this is an evening of celebration, an evening of rejoicing. We take time to do that tonight and in the days ahead. But I also wanted us to take just a moment to acknowledge that there are countless people that are struggling in this season. There are those who are dealing with recent diagnoses and illnesses, those who are dealing with the loss or separation from loved ones. There are those who have those struggles that may not be evident, may not be readily apparent to us, but they still are struggling in this season. And I'm just asking that on this night we take a moment to keep our community, keep our state, our nation, to keep our world in prayer, to lift those prayers because we know the power of prayer. We know that prayer is a real and powerful thing. And we long for the day that God's peace and God's light will shine throughout the world, that there won't be those struggles, those pains that anyone experiences any longer. But until that day comes, I'm going to ask that we continue to lift those who are in need, to lift the last, the least, and the lost, those who are in our world that are in those desperate situations. So I'm going to invite us to this evening to take a moment, to take a breath, to feel that presence of God in our lives, but then also to take a moment in the silence to pray to our God, pray for those names, those situations, those people that you may know that might need an extra measure of prayer this evening. Let us take just a moment and spend it in prayer with our Lord. God of glory, your splendor shines from that manger in Bethlehem, where the light of the world is humbly born into the darkness of human night. Lord, open our eyes to Christ's presence in the shadows of our world, so that we, like him, may become beacons of your justice. We may become defenders of all for whom there is no room. Light of life, you came in flesh, born into human pain and joy. You came to give that power to your children. Grant us faith, O Christ, to see your presence among us, so that all of creation may sing new songs of gladness. All of creation may walk in the ways of peace. Almighty Father, on this night we offer our deepest and most sincere thanks for the one you sent to us in that humble manger, for the way he would live his life, for the lessons he would teach us, for the reminder he would serve as, that he was Emmanuel, God with us. We offer these, our prayers, we offer our joys on this holy and magnificent night, as we offer them in the name of the one who came, the one who loves us, the one who taught us to pray together this prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As we continue this time of worship, I'll invite you to, again, stand with me as you're able for our next hymn. It's number 211, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. We'll be singing hymn number 211. Please rise and sing with me. You may please be seated. As you are, we take a moment to recognize the giving and the offering that will be received here tonight. I remind you that our Christmas offering here at Romeo United Methodist has traditionally been split, half of it going to our missions team for their work and continued work, and the other half going to the use of our administrative council for projects and needs that are identified in the church. We are accepting those offerings through the box on the organ as we have been doing, and you can also give online at romeoumc.com in the Give Now link. We offer our thanks for all those offerings, all those tithes that are given, that we might continue to be in mission and serving this community around us. And as such, let me offer a word of thanks for this collection here tonight. God of the stars and of the angels, we gather this evening, and our attention is focused on a baby lying in a makeshift bed in a they-will-have-to-do stable. It's not lost on us that you sent your Son, our Savior, into the world among the poorest of the poor and told us, this will be a sign to you. As we present gifts to you, we pray that they might reach those in the greatest need, that they might lift those in the deepest despair, and that they might bring peace and compassion to those who find themselves amidst conflict. We pray this all in the name of that holy child, Jesus the Christ, our Savior and our Redeemer. Amen. Our second scripture reading for tonight takes us over to Matthew's Gospel. It's Matthew chapter 1. We'll hear verses 18 through 25. The birth of Jesus, the Messiah. Now, the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be pregnant from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to divorce her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Look, the virgin shall become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had given birth to a son, and he named him Jesus. This, my friends, is the word of God. It is for all of us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Merry Christmas. These are two better words we get to say in the church. Merry Christmas. I have to be honest with you, being able to stand up here in front of you all and say those words of greeting, it is a special privilege to get to do that each year, to get to have this time together to say Merry Christmas to all of you. And it's really kind of awesome when I stopped and thought about it this week as I was preparing for this evening, when I came to the realization that I'm not the only pastor, priest, or other religious leader who's saying those two words on this evening. We have brothers and sisters all around the world who are offering those same words of greeting to one another. Merry Christmas. as we gather to celebrate our newborn Savior and King. It is something special to acknowledge that it is a tradition that goes back hundreds and hundreds and thousands of years, people gathering to celebrate this evening. It's something to celebrate on this most holy of nights. And as we're gathered here to celebrate and remember this evening, we've again heard some of those scriptures read, some of those that we regularly hear this time of year, often hear this time of year, the story in the scriptures of Jesus Christ's birth, as they're told to us. We've all heard them a time or two, I'm willing to bet. But this week I saw a quiz that tested our Christmas knowledge, is what it said. And if you thought I was just going to let you off the hook tonight and not make you work for it, just because it's late, you're wrong. We've all got some work to do tonight. So I have this quiz, and I'm going to read these questions for you. Originally, I was going to have Shelly put it in the bulletin and make you answer them and turn them in. I'm not making you do that. If you want to jot them down, want to jot down some answers, feel free to. If you want to shout out the answers, you're free to do that as well. But there's 12 questions that, according to the Bible, according to the scriptures, this is what took place on that first Christmas night. So here are those questions. Number one, how did Mary travel to Bethlehem? Number two, how much older was Joseph than Mary? Number three, what did the innkeeper offer to do? Number four, in what type of building was Jesus born? Number five, what animals were present at Jesus' birth? Number six, what was the weather like when Jesus was born? Number seven, how many people visited Jesus that night? Number eight, how did the shepherds locate Jesus that night? Number nine, what song did the angels sing? Number 10, how did the wise men travel to Bethlehem? Number 11, how many wise men were there? And number 12, what is the date of Jesus' birth? How do you think you did? If I made you turn them in, how do you think you did? 8, 9, maybe 10? Anyone think they got all 12? Got them all right? Get that A+ if I filled it out? I'm going to give you the answers, don't worry. Out of the Bible's 66 books, only the first and second chapters of Matthew and the first and second chapters of Luke actually tell us the story of Jesus' birth. There are many Old Testament prophecies and writings of his coming, and there are many New Testament explanations of Jesus' birth, but only those four chapters actually tell us of Jesus' birth. Out of the more than 1,100 chapters in the Bible, it's those four that tell us the story. And in those four chapters, the short answer to every single one of those questions that we're looking at on the screen, all of them, the short answer to them is, the Bible does not say. Every single one of them. That's right, we can look at the list again. There's no reference to any animals in the scriptures besides the sheep that the shepherds were watching. We have no indication of Joseph's age, even though I heard a few mumble it, older, 10 years older. We've always had it presented that he was older than Mary. An innkeeper is never brought up, only that there was no room for them at an inn. No stable is ever mentioned, only that a feed trough or a manger was used as a makeshift cradle that night. We're not told if the angels sang anything at all. We're only told that they proclaimed or spoke their praise of God. The only hint of the weather conditions may not have been quite what we've been dealing with here. The only hint of the weather conditions was that the shepherds were watching their flock by night We're not told if it was a cold night, as it's often presented. We also don't know how the shepherds found that newborn child. I heard someone say it, the star. But the star was used by the wise men. We're never referenced how the shepherds got there. We also don't know how many wise men there were, only that they brought three gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And of course, the date of Jesus' birth, well, it's not shared anywhere of any known fact that we have by the biblical account. As I just read through those, I realized it's not ironic at all that behind me, so many of those images are represented. I got three kings, I got a herd of animals, I got Mary coming on a donkey, I got all kinds of it right there behind me. And for some of us hearing those things listed off as not being biblically accurate, it might seem like a bit of a disappointment because thanks to countless pictures, songs we sing, or maybe children's programs that we've watched, we all can envision Mary riding on that donkey into Bethlehem, can't we? We can all hear the innkeeper saying to them, there's no room at the inn. We hear those things. We see those things. We've all sung of the three kings coming to bring their presents. Heck, some of us might even imagine that there was the little drummer boy there having his drum solo for baby Jesus. But please hear me when I say this. I don't think that any of those traditions, any of those imagery that we have in our minds, I don't think that any of that is a bad thing. I actually think that they're important, and many of them are based on some of those prophecies that we hear in the scriptures. Many of them are based on things that historians and theologians have discovered over the years. They have some bearing in history, just not in our scriptures as we read them. So there's nothing wrong with those images and those things that we remember about this story. But as I looked through that list and realized the answers to the questions of all those, the answer to each of those questions on that list, I think it helped me to remember, and it should serve as a reminder for all of us on just what it is we're here to celebrate tonight. What it is we celebrate throughout this season. It's why in this season of Advent, this season of preparation, we've taken time to look at the very heart of Christmas. Because when it comes down to it, all those details, all the answers to those questions, all those things that we have from the story that aren't quite there in the scriptures, they're all just on the outside. They're all superficial to what really took place on that first night in Bethlehem. Because when it really comes down to it, what really matters, what really makes, excuse me, what really matters and what makes all the difference is that on that night, God came into the world. Jesus Christ was born to be Emmanuel, God with us. God came into the world in the form of that child. God came into the world to walk and talk and live like us. God came into the world to experience what it was to be human. God came into the world that he might be able to redeem and reconcile all of humanity to himself. That's why, for all the glitz and glamour that's so often connected to this season, the true heart of Christmas comes down to one thing and one thing only. It comes down to Jesus. It's that baby that would grow to become a man that was going to change the world. Jesus is the heart, and at Christ's heart are those gifts that he brought, those things that we've celebrated this Advent. We've looked at them as we've lit our Advent wreath, the hope, the peace, the joy, and the love that Christ brought. The first Christmas presents weren't the gold, frankincense, and myrrh of those wise men. It was the gifts that Christ brought through his miraculous birth, through God coming into the world to live with us. Now I have to be honest, often with our Christmas celebrations and even the days that follow, we like to leave Jesus as that beautiful baby. We have a tradition in our family that we can't drive anywhere in this season without pointing out every single baby Jesus we see. We call him out like you wouldn't believe. Baby Jesus! I see baby Jesus! Baby Jesus! And poor Eliza, who's still looking backwards, and after we go by, oh, there's baby Jesus! We like baby Jesus. We like to see him in that manger. But as I just said a few moments ago, our Savior didn't remain that child. There was a purpose for his presence, one that Mary and Joseph weren't fully aware of, that those shepherds and the wise men who came, that even his disciples who would later follow him, it was something that they were all unaware of. They were completely oblivious to why he was here. Because yes, Jesus came to be Emmanuel, to be God with us, but he also came as a Savior. Max Lucado once wrote, "If our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness. So God sent us a Savior." That's why Jesus came. Our Savior came to eliminate any barrier that would exist between us and God. Our Savior came to pay a debt that we would never have been able to pay on our own. And our Savior came so that we might have a place right at the side of God. We might be welcomed into that place in eternity. That's how much God loves us. That's how much our Lord cares. And this love of God, it's spoken of countless times in the scriptures, but there's one passage that, quite frankly, it's an unconventional Christmas passage. It's not one I've ever used this time of year. It's probably not one that you often hear this time of year, although I'm sure it's a passage you've heard before. We just don't focus on it in this season. You see, well, the Gospel of John, it does not contain a traditional telling of the Christmas story, of the images that we so often equate to this time of year. It does contain a specific passage that will perhaps give us a new perspective on just what it was that took place on that first night in Bethlehem. Can you go ahead and put that up there for us, Claudia? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life." This is, of course, John 3:16. It's a well-known, oft-repeated. It's on t-shirts, it's on people's tattoos, we see it on signs at the football games, right? We see this verse often, John 3:16. We see it and we know it. But when we really think about it, what it's telling us is what's at the very heart of Christmas. Because it was a gift given. A gift with a cost that we can't imagine, that few of us can imagine ever paying. The gift was God the Father's Son sent to die for all of us. The gift was a love so deep, so strong, so unimaginable that God couldn't fathom not having us by his side. So he sent Jesus to us to walk among us. And you see, I think that's the key of this passage. I think it's why it was stuck in my mind since I've read it back in early December. Because we often remember this part of this verse, John 3:16. Many of us can probably repeat it from memory. But there's an equally important verse. It's the verse that immediately follows in John 3:17 that I want you to hear tonight. It reads, "Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." That is why, even with the gifts of hope, and peace and joy and love that Jesus brought, there is no doubt, there is no confusion over what the true heart of Christmas is. It is Jesus Christ himself. Because Jesus didn't come to be our judge, our jury, and our executioner. He didn't come to point out how miserably we'd failed as a human species, how deeply broken we are, how the sins we've committed can never be paid in full. He didn't bring any of that in his Christmas packages. Instead, Jesus came to save us, to rescue us, and to redeem us. Jesus came that we may have life and have it abundantly, not just in this world, but in the world that is to come as well. At that time when each and every one of us will be welcomed into our home, not the ones made with human hands, but made eternal in the heavens. That is how much God loves us. That is how much God loves each and every one of us. And if you felt separated from that love, if you felt dragged down, if you felt surrounded by darkness over the past days, months, years, whatever it might be, if you've had voices in this world telling you that you're not enough, that you're not worthy, that you're not loved. Hear this tonight. Hear this and remember. Jesus loves you. I say that to every single person in this room. Jesus loves you. The gift of hope, the gift of peace, the gift of joy, the gift of love that Jesus brought was for each and every one of you. On that quiet evening, in that unopposing town out in the middle of nowhere, the promised Messiah, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the Prince of Peace, the beloved Son of God. On that night, the heart of Christmas was brought into the world. It was made known to us through the birth of a child. And my hope, my prayer, is that all of us will be able to accept and receive those gifts and truly know them in our hearts and in our souls. That we may embrace the true heart of the season. We may embrace our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That we may loudly and proudly proclaim it all the year long, not just when we get to say Merry Christmas to one another, but throughout the year we may bring glory to our newborn King. All thanks be to God, now and forever. Amen. As we prepare for what is without a doubt one of my favorite traditions in the church, the singing of Silent Night, the lighting of the candles, I'm going to invite you to hear these first five verses of John's Gospel. I said it's not the traditional telling of what took place in Bethlehem long ago, but it is a reminder of what truly took place. Hear this from John's Gospel. It's John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. The Word became flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and without Him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in Him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overtake it. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overtake it. The darkness did not overtake it. My friend, the darkness has not overtaken it, and the darkness will not overtake the light of Christ in our world. That's why on this night, we will take a moment, and we will light our candles from the Christ candle. In just a moment, I'm going to have Myung, she's going to play the tune of Silent Night for us quietly as we light these candles. I'll take the light from the Christ candle, and Becky's going to help me pass that throughout the pews. I would also serve as a reminder for you, if you have the unlit candle, it's a lot easier to tip the unlit candle than the lit one. It's a lot less wax. Nathan appreciates it as he has to clean. And it's a lot less burns on the hands. So tip those unlit candles to the lit ones. We're going to pass the light throughout the sanctuary. And once we have it, we'll dim the lights and we will join together in singing Silent Night. Becky, will you come forward to help me? Will you please rise and sing with me? As we go this evening, may the everlasting love of God enfold you in blessing. May the Spirit's light shine before you, and may the embrace of the Holy Child keep you this night and always. Peace be with you. Merry Christmas, and Amen.